he's been talking about January 6th and the creation story of colonialism versus the creation story of indigenous and other folks, and her book Standoff, Standing Rock, the Bundy Movement and the American Story of Sacred Lands. Thank you, Jackie. I'll be back in a little over a month.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9 a.m.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The nominating committee meets on the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Hi there. Thanks for joining me. On this show, we are embracing the art of saying no, as we get better at setting boundaries to protect our energy. Have you ever caught yourself nodding yes before you've even heard the question? Like, can you, and there it is, sure. Before you know it, you're knee deep in a commitment you never wanted. Let's face it, saying no can feel like the ultimate guilty pleasure. We're so conditioned to be helpful, agreeable, and superhuman that declining a request feels like we're letting the world down. But guess what? Protecting your energy isn't just okay. It's essential. In this episode, we're diving into the art of saying no, not as a rejection, but as a way to honor yourself, your values, and your time. We'll explore what boundaries really mean, why they matter, and how to say no without the guilt trip. So let's use that overcommitted superhero cape for some well-deserved boundaries and explore how to protect your precious energy. It's time to take back your power, one polite decline at a time. Let's start by getting on the same page about what we mean when we talk about boundaries. No, we're not talking about fences or a do not enter sign, although sometimes that might feel necessary. Boundaries in this context are the invisible lines we draw to define what's okay and not okay for us. They're like the personal rules of engagement for how we let others interact with our time, energy, and emotions. Think about it. We all have a limited amount of energy each day. It's like a rechargeable battery, but unlike your phone, there's no battery bank to save you when you're at 1%. So when you're constantly saying yes, whether it's agreeing to bake 200 cookies for a school fundraiser, staying late at work for the fifth time this week, or playing therapist to your overly dramatic friend, you're draining the battery. And let's be real, once it's gone,
It's gone. That's why boundaries are so important. They help us protect and prioritize our energy. But here's the tricky part. Why is it so hard to say no? For many of us, it's because we don't want to disappoint others. We crave approval. We want to be liked. And sometimes we just want to avoid the awkwardness of conflict. So we end up overcommitting, stretching ourselves too thin, and feeling resentful, or worse, burned out. Let's flip the script. Saying no doesn't make you selfish. It makes you smart. Think of boundaries as your personalized GPS, directing you toward the things that matter most and steering you away from unnecessary detours. They help you stay focused, reduce stress, and create stronger, more respectful relationships. And here's a bonus. Setting boundaries can actually improve your relationships. How? Because people know where they stand with you, and that clarity builds trust. When you say yes, they'll know you genuinely mean it, and that makes your commitment even more valuable. So let's embrace this idea of boundaries, not as barriers, but as bridges to a more intentional, energized life. Let's explore how to actually do this, and trust me, it doesn't involve wearing a no thanks t-shirt, although that could be a fun way to start. Okay, before we draw a distinctive line in the sand, let's see how it worked out for Sean Ferguson. She confesses, "I'm a people pleaser who tried saying no to everything for a week. Here's what happened. It's found at Very Well Mind. If there's one thing that I struggle to say, it's no. I've built a life around accommodating. Need an extra set of hands to work on a project? I'm your girl. Can't find someone to help with last minute plans? You can count on me. There's nothing wrong with helping people, of course. But I started to notice that my yes reflex was leaving me burnt out and feeling resentful. So when my editor popped into my inbox asking if I'd experiment with saying no to everything for a week, a lot of feelings cropped up on me. On the one hand, the thought gave my stomach pains. On the other hand, I imagined it would be a great excuse to prioritize myself for a week because, yes, I needed an excuse. In other words, this experiment felt like an uncomfortable but necessary task. So I said yes to the assignment and said no to everything else for that week. At least I refused everything that didn't align with my needs, priorities, or values. Here's what happened. I'm not a textbook people pleaser. I can be grumpy, blunt, and headstrong. But I often agree to do things I don't want to do because I'm afraid of conflict and rejection. Classic people pleasing behavior, right? Generally speaking, people pleasing develops from a deep longing for validation and acceptance. It's a coping mechanism from growing up in environments where love or safety felt conditional, and acceptance was earned by being agreeable, helpful, or compliant. If that description feels like a personal attack, you're not alone. Beyond feeling rejected, one of the reasons why I find it hard to say no is because I genuinely can't tell whether I'm being callous or not. So I asked Maria Ross, an empathy advocate and author, how to tell the difference between being empathetic and people-pleasing. She gave me a helpful perspective that people-pleasing doesn't typically come from empathy, but from a place of fear. When you default to people-pleasing, that's not empathy, it's submission. It's about your own needs and desires to feel good. When others make an ask of us, we often react immediately from our own needs, whether we immediately say no because we're stressed out and busy, or immediately say yes because we want to make the other person happy. In other words, when we people-please, we're still acting based on our own desires. On the other hand, empathy is about considering another person's perspective. Ross advises that there is a compassionate, empathetic way to hold boundaries. So with that in mind, I got stuck into my experiment. Day one, the work email. The first test of my no experience came before I'd even finished my morning coffee. A client emailed asking if I could help take on an additional copywriting project with a tight deadline. Normally, I'd agree immediately and figure out how to deal with the stress later. But today, I hesitated. Did I really want to do this? Or was I saying yes out of habit? For people pleasers who are struggling to tune into their own wants and desires, Hunt suggests pausing before saying yes. Use the pause to check in with your physical and emotional reactions. Ask yourself, does this feel genuine and authentic? Or does it feel like something I should want? If I felt excited about the assignment, I might have squeezed it into my schedule. But after pausing, I realized the subject matter was just not my vibe. Thank you for thinking of me, I replied, but I don't have the bandwidth for the project right now. I hit send before I could overthink it. The result? The client was completely understanding, and they found another copywriter to help with the project. I felt a jolt of pride and relief. Maybe saying no wouldn't be so bad after all. Day two. Family favors. A text from a relative was my next challenge. She was job hunting and wanted help creating a resume. Usually, I wouldn't mind helping, but I had a bunch of things on my plate. I briefly considered doing it on my lunch break or after work when I was supposed to be studying for a course I was taking. But then I thought about how tired I was and how badly I needed to rest. I texted her back and explained I wouldn't get a chance to help her with a resume until the following week. I also wished her luck on her job search. She completely understood. Win. Something I said yes to, though, grabbing pizza and watching a movie with my partner and friends that evening. I realized that if I'd said yes to helping my relative, I would have had to say no to this much-needed quality time. Day three. Social pressures. On Wednesday, a friend asked if I wanted to make plans for the weekend. I typically enjoy having social engagements on the weekend. I'm a community-oriented person, and my friendships mean a lot to me. I was also hesitant to say no to them because it's a relatively new friendship. While I feel more comfortable asserting boundaries with my closest friends, I worry about making new friends feel rejected or unwanted. But I had my final yoga teacher training practicals on the weekend, which meant I'd be physically and emotionally tired. I knew that if I agreed to a dinner, I'd either cancel on the day of or feel too tired and nervous to fully enjoy it. Saying no didn't make me a bad friend. It just made me an honest one. I thanked them for the invite, but explained that I wanted to focus all my attention on my yoga course. To my surprise, they weren't just understanding, they were excited for me. We both agreed to catch up the next month. I realized I've been overthinking people's reactions to my boundaries. Saying no didn't make me a bad friend, it just made me an honest one. Day four, the walk. My neighbor and I had plans to do our hour-long walk on Thursday evening. I told my neighbor I was considering canceling as I was pretty exhausted. She compassionately encouraged me to reschedule if I needed to. It felt great to get this sort of support from her. I reminded myself of my reasons for this experiment, to prioritize myself. After weighing out the pros and cons, I actually decided to go for the walk, and I'm glad I did. The conversation, exercise, and fresh air did me good. As much as the week was about saying no, I also wanted to say yes to things that served my needs and well-being. Day number 5, say no to myself. On Friday, the challenge turned inward. I'd been significantly tired all week, which I interpret as a symptom of burnout. For this reason, I decided to take Friday off work. After sleeping in and hitting the sauna, I felt better and immediately considered piling tasks on my plate: housework, personal admin, and work. I knew I needed more rest, but I also felt terribly guilty about not working, which is an issue in itself. Ross shared some words that I found really helpful for this situation. When our own home is in disarray, we can't make space for other people's perspectives without defensiveness or fear. Setting boundaries is an act of self-care because it enables me to operate at full capacity and be present enough to practice empathy when needed. I know what I'm like when I'm burned out. It's a terrible experience for me and those around me. I slack on house chores, I miss deadlines, and I'm way too cranky to be there for my loved ones. The solution here is self-care. This can be tricky if you're not used to taking care of yourself, of course. I would invite folks to think of true self-care as something that energizes your body, mind, and soul. What do you need to recharge, reset, take a break, shift your thinking, use a different part of your brain? For me, it's cuddling my dog, doing crafts, and watching Netflix. Simple but soothing. Day 6, a boundary push. Saturday brought my biggest challenge yet, a friend who wouldn't take no for an answer. They kept pressing me to join a group activity even after I'd politely declined. I found myself wavering, tempted to give in just to avoid conflict. But instead, I simply repeated my no and changed the subject. I felt terrible, to be honest, partly because they were clearly upset with me. While the interaction felt uncomfortable, it was a lesson in holding my ground even when others resist. Day 7, reflection. By Sunday, I felt empowered. Saying no hadn't turned me into a villain, nor had it alienated my loved ones. I managed to take time off work, focus fully on my yoga teacher training, and feel more control of my time and energy. And I did all that without harming any of my relationships. That's not to say there weren't challenges. Saying no can be uncomfortable, especially if you're used to over-accommodating. But the benefits, reduced stress, increased self-respect, and a clearer sense of priorities, were undeniable. Will I be saying no more often? Absolutely. But I'm not gonna lie, I don't think saying no is a skill I've mastered yet. It makes me very uncomfortable, and I still have a sense of guilt about Saturday's interaction. Guilt is common when trying something new, especially when it challenges deeply held beliefs. Now that we've defined boundaries and explored why they're so important, let's talk about how you could actually start setting them in your life. Because let's be real, knowing you should say no and actually doing it are two very different things. It's time to get practical. So grab a pen or just mentally bookmark these tips. Number 1, understand your values. The first step to setting boundaries is getting clear on what matters most to you. Take a moment to think about your priorities. Is it your family, your health, your career, or your peace of mind? When you know what you value, it becomes much easier to determine what deserves your time and your energy, and what doesn't. So here's a quick exercise. Write down your top 3 values. Now think about how you're spending your time. Are there commitments that don't align with these values? If so, they might be prime candidates for a polite no. Number 2, practice saying no. Saying no doesn't have to be awkward or confrontational. In fact, with the right phrasing, it can even sound gracious. Here are some examples. Thank you so much for thinking of me, but I'm going to have to pass this time. I'd love to help, but I'm currently overcommitted and wouldn't be able to give this attention it deserves. I appreciate the offer, but I have to focus on other priorities right now. Notice how these responses are polite yet firm. They communicate your decision without leaving room for negotiation. Number 3, role play scenarios. Sometimes saying no is easiest when you've practiced it ahead of time. Try role playing with a trusted friend or even in front of the mirror. Picture common scenarios where you struggle to say no and rehearse your response. The more you practice, the more natural it will feel. Number 4, start small. If setting boundaries feels overwhelming, start with low-stakes situations. Maybe it's saying no to attending a party you're not excited about or declining a small work request that doesn't fit your schedule. As you build confidence, you can tackle bigger challenges. Number 5, use nonverbal cues. Sometimes your body language can reinforce your boundaries as much as your words. Maintain eye contact, stand tall, and use a calm tone of voice. These nonverbal cues signal that you're confident in your decision. Number 6, prepare for pushback. Not everyone will immediately accept your boundaries, especially if they're used to you saying yes all the time. Be ready for a little resistance and hold your ground. A simple, "I understand this might be disappointing, but I need to stick to my decision," can go a long way. And number 7, give yourself some grace. Remember that you're human. Setting boundaries is a skill, and like any skill, it takes time to master. Don't beat yourself up if you slip up or overcommit occasionally. Celebrate your progress, no matter how small. I myself am a people pleaser in recovery. This means I know it's my knee-jerk reaction, but now I'm able to recognize it, mostly, and to correct my behavior, mostly. On Self, Jenna Ryu gives us, or me, 5 little ways to practice setting boundaries if you're a recovering people pleaser. Protect your peace. Put your own oxygen mask on first. We've all heard this mental health advice countless times and seen it pop up on our feeds via inspirational quotes and posts. And for good reason. Boundaries are an important form of self-care. Creating rules for what you will and won't accept from other people and drawing other emotional lines to, yes, protect your peace, keeps you and your relationships happy and healthy. But saying no isn't always that simple, especially for recovering people pleasers. It's all too easy to reluctantly respond, sure, to a friend's trip you don't want to go on and frankly can't afford. Because your pal won't stop pleading with you, for instance, or regrettably agree to help your sweet neighbor move into their new house across town. The tendency to put other people before ourselves often stems from a fear of disappointing them. You might worry, if I stand up for myself, they'll be upset with me. If I do what they ask, they'll like me more. As a result, you may push yourself to spend your time and energy doing things that drain you to avoid conflict or earn someone's approval. By suppressing your true feelings to appease others only sets you up for burnout, resentment, and unhappiness. Ultimately, the only person who can advocate for your best interest is you, and doing so doesn't have to be scary or confrontational. If putting yourself first feels unfamiliar or selfish, it's not. Consider giving these beginner-friendly tips a try. Number 1, ask yourself, do I really want to do this? Before you agree to just stay friends with the date gone wrong or insist it's fine that your roommate used your eggs without asking, take a minute or two to check in with yourself. Are you actually down to stay in contact with that selfish jerk from Tinder? Or are you just being nice to avoid the dreaded awkwardness? Do you truly not mind that your housemate used your groceries without your permission? Or are you just hesitant to bring it up because it might lead to a huge fight? People pleasers have usually learned to ignore their own feelings and preferences, so it can take time to reconnect with these aspects. Pausing to evaluate what you want or don't want is a good start to figuring out whether you're genuinely okay with something or just trying to satisfy someone else. Number two, frame your no more positively. After your little self-check-in, maybe decide that you definitely don't want to spend your Saturday camping in the dirty woods or attend a concert of a singer you barely listen to. The next step, then, is figuring out how to be assertive about your choice, which can be especially tricky to do with someone you care about, like a clingy but well-intentioned friend or a slightly overbearing parent. With loved ones in particular, you'll want to speak up for yourself without coming across as inconsiderate. If you'd rather stay with your family for 5 days instead of their proposed 2 weeks, for example, you could say something like, "I really appreciate the invite, but I can't stay that long." This is a win-win since it's easier for them to accept and for you to deliver potentially disappointing news when you express it with gratitude. If your party-hard bestie is pressuring you to join a late-night bar crawl, even though you hate drinking, you could try a gentle but straightforward response like, "You're so sweet for thinking of me, but I really can't come tonight." Or, "I'm not really into that, but I'm down to get brunch tomorrow morning if you want to hang out." An approach like this indicates that you're willing to spend time with them just on your own terms. Also, the experts strongly urge against wishy-washy responses like, "I'm not sure, but I can try." It's best to be firm and clear from the get-go because making excuses or being vague can cause unnecessary confusion and undermine your attempts at setting boundaries. Remember, the message should be communicated kindly and clearly. Number three, don't forget about digital boundaries. Even if you try your best to state your limits politely, setting boundaries can still feel like some big dramatic announcement. And of course, that sounds extremely daunting. Who wouldn't be anxious about defending themselves from their intimidating boss? How could you not feel guilty telling a friend in distress that their late night vent sessions are messing with your sleep? In situations like these, digital boundaries can be a game-changing way to advocate for yourself without directly confronting someone or talking to them at all. With the first example, instead of declaring to your manager that you're logging off at 5 p.m. sharp, which might feel scary or cause tension, consider pausing email notifications during after-work hours. Even better, consider temporarily deleting apps like Gmail, Slack, and Teams on weekends to communicate that you're prioritizing work-life balance without directly saying so. And regarding your chatty pal, put your phone on Do Not Disturb mode whenever you need a break. That way, you won't have to bluntly say you're too tired to hear about their crappy ex again for them to understand you're not available. Number four, block out some downtime in your calendar. Just like you pencil in dinner reservations or work meetings, it's also worth carving out dedicated you time. It can be tempting to fill your schedule with an obligation you're not interested in if you see an empty slot. For instance, you might feel uncomfortable turning down a hangout request if you're technically free or your only excuse is not feeling it. When you make downtime a regular part of your routine, however, you're sending yourself a clear message. Your personal space is just as valid as any other commitment. Think of it like this. Actually, you do have plans to unwind with a book, stream Netflix, or just chill out. Blocking off self-care from 7 to 9 on Wednesdays, for example, might feel odd at first, but the point, according to Dr. Schuster, is to get into the habit of actively prioritizing yourself and your interests. Over time, this can make it easier to recognize that wanting to simply rest, say, or catch up on your favorite show are perfectly valid reasons to refuse plans. Number 5, don't let any pushback stop you from putting your needs first. We wish we could promise that showing up for yourself will be met with open arms. People pleasers have essentially taught others to expect them to say yes no matter what. So when they stand up for themselves, they might initially get pushback for no longer being so accommodating. But when this resistance happens, because it probably will, remember this. We might let people down in life just as others let us down. But if you truly want to be happy, you need to strike a balance between caring for those around you and still taking care of yourself. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for additional encouragement throughout.
I'm Molly, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Here goes nothing.
Tune in to KBOO for Drinking from Puddles, hosted by Brandon, every other Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m.